It's a good thing to praise Him in every season. Amen. And for every reason.
That's right.
So some of you may have been equipped with our handout for today. And as you know, we've been doing kind of an intensive spiritual study on marriage and family. And we find that those are the things which are attacked the most in the world today. And that's nothing new. We would say that that is nothing new. Marriage and family have been attacked. Remember when God had made man, initially He said that the first thing that was not good in the scripture is that it's not good that the man should be alone. And so that was Satan's very focal point. And when that was said, there was no sin yet.
That's right.
So that kind of amplifies the importance of marriage. There hadn't been any sin. And that's the first thing in the Bible that it says is not good, is that it is not good that the man should be alone. And this is before the fall of man.
All right.
So that should amplify to you and me the importance of the institution of marriage. And it also should turn on a little indicator in your spirit why marriage is being attacked so much these days. But that's what Satan's first initial attack against man was to attack a marriage. God had made Eve, and she was the solution for man being alone. Not only in the physical presence that Adam needed a companion, but also the fact that man needed a way to be multiplied. And the fact that there are so many of us here today, and so many in the world, we know that that's, as one pastor I had used to say, that's the only commandment God gave that man didn't break, is to be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, the only one, and all the rest of them have been broken and destroyed, kicked to the curb. But the only one we didn't break is be fruitful and multiply. We have 6 billion people to prove that that one is a good one. And everybody approves of it, even if they believe God or they don't.
That's right.
But today we're going to talk about this because there are some things that you and I can benefit from if we understand where we are. And I'm speaking specifically to believers, and I'm hoping to spike an interest to those who may not be believers. Maybe you haven't given serious consideration to who Jesus is and the reason for His coming. And I'm sure none of us really fully understand all of the reason for His coming. We know He came to seek and save that which was lost.
Yes.
That is the theme in the book of Luke. And He also came to be the Savior of the world all by Himself. No one else is the Savior of the world.
That's right.
And therefore He must also be God, because God says that I will not share my glory with another.
No way.
So even though Christ comes, there's somewhere in your spirit you should reconcile the fact that He is God.
Amen.
And He came on a mission in the flesh to generate the only acceptable salvation that is available to the human family. And so we want to talk about that. And I'll talk a little today about how that applies to you and your particular situation and your particular family. And so we're going to look at this today as we continue our ongoing study here on marriage and family. We arrive today at the most important facet of walking the Christian life, with a special knowledge of the protection provided by God for the ones who believe in Him through the understanding He has provided for everyone through His message that He is. We have titled this message, Cloaked with the Gospel, with Gospel Insulation. Now that might sound strange. Cloaked with Gospel Insulation. In other words, we've been insulated from some of the things going on in the world, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we proceed. Now, for a reading, I'm going to ask the deacons to take up a microphone so that they can be heard, and we will have them read for us from the Old Testament the entire 91st Psalm, and then followed by a few verses from John 16, verses 26 to 33 in the New Testament. And we ask that you give your undivided attention to the reading and the hearing of the God's holy word. Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Mm-hmm.
He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wing shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noon. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand. But it shall not come nigh. Only with thine eye shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen, amen. The old covenant of the Lord to the people of the Lord. And now for the New Testament scripture reading.
At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you, that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came from the Father, and am coming to the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God.
Yes.
Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me.
Yes.
These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace.
Yes.
In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Amen, yes. Amen. The word of the Lord from the new covenant to the people of the Lord. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated. And as we said, we're going to use a topic of cloaked with gospel insulation. Now that might sound strange. Cloaked with gospel insulation. Just let me describe a couple of things here. First of all, insulation does kind of mean, it can mean isolation to some degree. There is an element of that. But we're saying insulation. Now I'm just going to use a metaphor, something you may know about here from the electrical trade. For example, I have a cable here, which has got power in it. It has electricity flowing through it. And right now, it's hot. We're running everything on the sound system with this cable, but I can handle it because of the insulation that's on it. It's not electrocuting me because there's electricity inside, but the outside is insulated. See, so that's what insulation does, is it protects, it separates something that has power from being harmful, or it can also encase something that is useful. Now the electric that we're using is useful because we're using it to amplify sound, we're using it to record,
yes.
We're using it for a number of things, display image on the screen, and so basically the insulation allows that power to flow through and be used in a useful way. So the gospel does that for the believer. It insulates you from things in the world that would attempt to damage you. It insulates you or covers you from things that Satan would have against you.
Yes.
And it kind of protects you from stuff that would destroy you possibly.
Amen.
Or in some way it would be like, for example, if I grabbed that thing and the insulation was bad, the electric would begin to flow through me. And that would be bad. That would be a horrible thing. That would shut you down,
yes.
Basically. We call that electrocution. Now in this case, we're looking at the fact that we are insulated from some things by the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to talk about that and hopefully make that clear. And not only that, but it's something no one else can see. So in that sense, you could say that those who understand, the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that means there are some things in your life that aren't really obvious to the person who is lost. A person that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can't see some things that are going on in your life. So we would say that we're cloaked, basically. Yes. It's kind of similar to insulation, except this is on the visual end. Just to use an illustration, back in the series Star Trek, many of you seen Star Trek, and we have some Trekkies in the room. There might be some new generation ones and different ones who understand. They will be going out into space to find a particular person or thing out in space, and basically there would be an enemy that was against them out there, the Romulans or the Klingons. And basically they would say, Spock, who had some extra perception that knew some stuff other folks didn't know because he was a Vulcan, would say, well, Captain, they're using I can see a plasma shield out here, so I know that they're using the cloaking device, and there is a ship there somewhere, even though we don't see it. And so sometimes they had to attack the plasma shield to break down the covering that was over the ship so they could see where to fire their photon torpedoes to destroy the Klingon vessel. Now, if y'all don't mind if I go there just for a minute this morning. So I want you to see cloaking basically is something that prevents visual perception.
Yes.
You can't see it. It's something you cannot see. That's why they kind of like what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So it's like the people who are saved are cloaked.
Yes.
Under a something that God has. And not only are we cloaked with the gospel, but we're also insulated from things such as the wrath of God.
Amen.
God's wrath, the Bible says, is against, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness.
Yes. Amen.
And unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, Romans 1:18 says. See, and so basically you and I are insulated from the wrath of God if we have trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, you know what? God wants everyone to be insulated. Yes. It's his desire that no one would perish. That means he wants to apply what he did and what he has provided through Jesus Christ to every living human being. Yes. See, you know what? If you're dead, it's too late for you. Mm-hmm. You can't be saved out of the grave. There are people who teach that, but the Bible says no. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. So you need to accept Christ while you're living and breathing in order to be insulated from the wrath and the eternal judgment of God.
Yes.
And when you do that, realize you're going to be living under the cloak of it's kind of a mysterious covering over you that people who don't know God won't even be able to see. Mm-hmm. Because except a man be born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Now, I wanted to borrow an illustration to help get this point across, and you'll see somebody might be thinking, well, how does that apply to the family? Well, I want you to know that families that are saved, where the individuals in the family trust God and they trust Jesus Christ, they have a covering from God that cloaks them from things of the devil. The devil might want to have access to you, but he can't get it unless God gives him permission. First of all, remember the case of Job in the Bible?
Yep.
Job, Satan went to God and said, actually God went to Satan. He says, have you considered my servant Job, Satan? Because he was showing Job off. Mm-hmm. God was boasting on Job. He's an upright man who loves God and eschews evil.
Yeah.
He stays away from evil and he tries to do things right. See? And Satan said, yeah, I know, but it's because you cover him. You put a hedge around him. So that's the cloaking. God had cloaked Job with a hedge, as the devil said. And he said, just take that cloaking device off and let me get to him and I'll bust him up. That's a modern way of saying what the devil said to God. You know what? The devil would like to have God remove the cloaking off of you.
That's right.
He can try you and test you and see can he get to you to break you up from your relationship with God. We know with Job, it didn't work. God said, okay, I moved the hedge, but you can only go this far. I give you a limit, what you can do to have access to my servant.
Yes.
You see, and so the devil came in and smote his family. Y'all know how that all went. If you read the book of Job. And Job, his wife broke down pretty quick under that pressure.
Yes, she did.
But Job says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. See, so he stood even though there was tragedy and trouble when God temporarily removed the cloaking device, if you will, so that the devil could see him. See, and get through to him, because Satan said, oh, it's because you protect him. That's the only reason that he doesn't, he won't curse you to your face. You see, and so basically you and I are covered if we trust God.
Amen.
If we believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are insulated from damage that would come to us from forces of darkness.
Yes.
We are guaranteed entrance into God's kingdom,
yes,
by grace through faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alone. There are some things that the forces of darkness can't see about you that they don't understand. There are things that people who don't know the Lord can't see about you that they don't understand. And God wants you to be in that situation because he wants you to know that I have you covered on every side. Now, just to give you an illustration of this from the Old Testament, the writer of this Psalm 91, most believe, is Moses, who wrote this. He wrote 10 Psalms in the Old Testament called the Song of Moses. This one says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We're cloaked with the shadow of the Almighty. Why? Because we dwell in the secret place. It's a secret place because everybody can't see it. Only those who have been born again can understand that God is love, and he has covered us with his love, his mercy, and his grace. And he is the Most High. So what better place could you be than to have God cloaking your life?
All right.
Think about that. So he that dwelleth, that means I live there all the time. But think about a dwelling, and I want to talk with you about this momentarily. Even though you have a dwelling, for example, we all have a dwelling place, but we're not there right now. So we do go in and out. But most of the time we're there. And that's where we spend the majority of our time, is the place where we dwell. We don't stay there all the time. And as you know, and if you weren't here, I'm just going to mention some of the titles of previous messages that we've had up to this point. Some of you are familiar with them. We talked about speaking with faith for building your family. In other words, what are you saying out of your mouth to your family, to those you care about? Are you telling them what God said, or are you giving them the opinions of the world? So you need to speak with faith. In other words, recite what God has taught you in his word among your family. That's what it said in Deuteronomy 6. Talk about it when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. All the time in your dwelling, your conversation is about God and the word. And you want to extend that truth to another generation. We also talked about passing on the legacy of faith. That's how you do that. You give the next generation the information about God. That's the reason why there are saints here in this room today.
Yes.
Somebody in the previous generation transferred the information of the gospel to me and you. And we believed it because God gave us faith by his grace, and we got saved.
Amen.
And so now we're in the living generation passing it to the next. This all started with just the 12 who Jesus trained.
Yes.
All the way back 2,000 years ago. He trained 12 and sent them out with a mission: go ye therefore and teach all the nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And lo, I am with you. And the Greek literally says all the days. That means every day he is with us.
Every day.
I love that.
Amen.
He is with you all the days. How many is that? All of them, however many there are. See, so he's with you today. The Lord is with you today. He loves you today,
yes,
just like you are. You may not have ever understood this, but God loves you just like you are.
Yes, he does.
And he wants to fix you because he's given his son, Jesus Christ, to pay the entire debt for your sin. Whatever you owe, he has paid it in full. And that is the good news we call the gospel. Now, we have dealt with two of the words, cloaked and insulation. Now, the gospel is that good news from God. It's not a bad message.
Yes.
The message is God loves you so much that he became flesh and dwelt among us. As John says, the word became flesh. He promised that he would save us, then he fleshed it out. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory.
Yes, amen.
The glory is of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, John says in John chapter 1. The word became flesh, verse 14. So this is what Jesus Christ should mean to you. It means that God loves you. He knew you couldn't pay your bill. You have a sin bill. And not only did we sin in the past, but it continues to get added to throughout our life. And Jesus came at one moment in time to pay your bill entirely.
Amen.
And that has happened. That's the good news we call,
yes,
the gospel. How do we know it worked? Because God heaped up the sin of the whole world on his own son while he was hanging on the cross.
Yes.
He hung there on the cross, bled, and died for the sins of the world. All of your sin was cast upon him by God. God allowed someone who was able to pay the bill to pay the bill for you.
Yeah.
And that good news we call the gospel.
Yeah.
All of that sin from all of us and everyone else in the world heaped on Christ, didn't kill him, but God even forsook him while he hung there on the cross. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes.
See, because God turned his back on his own son and allowed him to hang there between heaven and earth, bearing the sins of whosoever believes in him. Mm-hmm. Now, some people will never believe in Christ. That's a sad reality.
Yes, it is.
But it's not God's desire for them not to believe in Christ.
Right.
He wants everyone to believe in Christ so that he can declare you righteous and cover you with this cloak of righteousness.
Amen.
He wants to cover your life with something that stops him from needing to send judgment
yes.
into your life. And the only thing that can do that is the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so when you see these words on your paper, they are not haphazard, cloaked with gospel insulation. God wants to insulate you from the wrath that he must give to people who do not repent.
Yes.
And people who do not believe the good news.
Amen.
And so he wants to give that to everyone, but he won't force his way into your life. You know what? He wants you to understand, I need to be saved.
Yes.
I need a redeemer. I need someone to cover me for my sin.
Yes.
And I believe you have provided that through your son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Now, why should you believe? I just want to address that quickly. You should, because Jesus is the most important individual in the history of humanity.
Amen.
You say, well, how can you say that, preacher? That's a bold thing to say. Yeah, but you know what? It's 2016 only because of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No one else. We count time based on his first coming. There have been 2016 years since he was born, approximately. No one else has a credential like that on the whole planet. So for that reason alone, you ought to understand who he is and that he is the only one that God has established in the world to cloak you with his insulation, insulate you from his wrath and his judgment. People say, when I ask sometimes, are you saved? I've heard people say, saved from what? They don't get it because they cannot see the fact that if you stay like you are and you don't trust Jesus Christ, you have chosen damnation for yourself.
That's right.
The Bible says whoever does not believe in Jesus Christ is condemned already.
That's right. Amen.
See, so Christ didn't have to come to condemn anybody. We
That's
were
right.
condemned already. See, but he came so that you could trust him and be saved, cloaked, and insulated, if
Amen.
You will, from the wrath and the judgment of God.
Yes.
And so the psalmist here who writes this Psalm 91, he talks about he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. It's a secret place because it can only be discerned by the Holy Spirit. We shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress and my God. In him will I trust. See, I'm not trusting in any person,
yes.
anything, only in God. He is my refuge, my fortress, and in him I will trust. Surely he will deliver thee. Now this is some of the insulation. Here, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
Yes.
These are ways of talking about things that try to entrap and ensnare you and infect your life with sickness, disease, whatever you want to say.
Yes.
And it says here, he shall cover thee with his feathers. That's that cloaking that he covers us. Under his wing shalt thou trust. Okay, so it's like, and they use the metaphor as Jesus spoke in Matthew 23:37, he talked about Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who slay the prophets that I send you. Oh, how often would I have not gathered you like a hen gathers her broods, but you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have it. I came to cover you and cloak you
yes.
with righteousness,
yes.
with covering and insulation from God, so I don't have to send judgment on you. And I had sent some photos, and I guess we don't have them ready, so we won't be able to show you. But when you, if you ever seen a hen, some of y'all might be from down south. You watch a hen that sits on the nest, and the little chicks come out. They cover over and try to cover over it to keep any kind of a wolf or anything coming in from snatching the chicks out from under it. And you got to fight with mama if you're going to mess with the kids. You see what I'm saying? And so that's the way God is. Somebody, whoever's got to tangle with you, they got to get through the covering. God is over you, cloaking you and covering you with his righteousness and his blessing. See, and so you understand that he that's how God feels. He gives these kind of metaphors so you can understand, I am here to protect you.
Yes.
I'm not against you. I love you. That's what Jesus was saying. He was distraught because Jerusalem did not recognize the time of their visitation.
Yes, he was.
Here I am. I've come to you and written it all in the book. It's been prophesied very well, and you reject me. You won't have me. You refuse to accept the grace and the mercy that I've come to deliver. He says here, moving on with the psalm, he says, he shall be your shield and your buckler. Those are things to protect you against the enemy. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. You watch the wicked going down, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. God says, I got you covered. Only with thine eyes. In other words, you'll be a witness, shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. You watch the wicked go down like flies all around you. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You dwell within the Lord. The Lord inhabits his praise. When you praise God, God is in the midst. You see? And so you have made him your habitation. That's where you dwell. There shall no evil befall you when you're there in the presence of God, keeping your mind stayed on him. The Bible says he will give perfect peace to him whose mind is stayed on him. If you keep your mind locked in on Christ, he says, I'll give you perfect peace. You see that? And so we agree here with the psalmist. If there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. And that's one of the most foreboding things, I think, today, is we worry a lot about health situations. But he says these things will not come nigh your dwelling. Doesn't mean you won't ever be sick, but it can't ultimately and permanently damage you in any way. No matter what happens to you, you're covered, is what we're trying to say. This is better than a Prudential or any of these folks who say we're going to insure you. Well, no, God says this is even better, because I can even insure you beyond the time when they can't cover you anymore.
That's right. Amen.
And so basically he says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's consistent with Hebrews 1:14. Speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? See, so God has covered us in so many ways, and this psalm is a good place to see it. He says here, basically, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. God doesn't want anything to happen to you. So many times I just know, I see some of the things I've experienced. I've been down the road and saw terrible accidents. And I thought about, you know, had you have been 5 minutes earlier, you might be over there. But for some reason I was delayed and didn't get there. And you ride past and you see the thing happening. It doesn't mean you haven't or won't ever be involved in something like that. But I think about all the times I could have been involved in something and that God held me back from it. You know, and the times I did go through anything like that, he protected me even then and brought me through. And basically, even if I passed away right there, I'm still covered. So it doesn't make a difference. You have to keep your trust in the Lord. Now notice what he says here. He says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. These are metaphoric for forces of darkness, evil spirits, the Satan and his crew that would work against you. He says they're going to go under your feet. They're not going to trample on you. You're going to trample on them. Jesus said, I give you power and authority over to tread up on scorpions. And he talked about these kind of things, using these as spiritual metaphors to talk about the defeat of the believer over the power of darkness.
Amen.
And now he says, why? Because he has set his love upon me. We love him because he first loved us.
Amen.
Therefore will I deliver him, and I will set him on high because he hath known my name. Yes. He shall call upon me and I will answer. We call that prayer. And I will be with him in trouble. Whatever you go through, I'm with you.
Yes.
I will deliver him with long life. He says, I will honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. So salvation is just kind of a nutshell of all that is provided for you when you are cloaked with the gospel insulation that God provides. Now, cutting to the chase here, we see that these are some things I wanted to present to you because every family needs to understand this. People who believe God are allowed to view the world in a way that God sees it, and to benefit from having an inside view on the way things really are as they are revealed in the Word of Truth. Rather than being tossed to and fro with the whims of others who do not know God and therefore operate as if he doesn't exist.
Yes. All right.
That's why you get bad advice from so many people.
All right.
You can turn on Dr. Phil, Oprah, you get some bad advice. Well, you know, honey, if he ain't doing you right, just shuck him to the curb. Find another one that's going to succumb to whatever you like. They get bad advice.
Yes, they do.
You know, and you don't want to fall into that. Sometimes they may give good advice on a given occasion, but for the most part, you and I have to examine everything carefully. Paul says, cleave to that which is good and abhor that which is evil. In other words, you're going to be sorting through what's good, what's bad, what agrees with God, what does not.
Amen.
And if it agrees with God, it's okay. But you've been given that ability if you've been saved, because the Holy Spirit is there in your life to lead you and guide you to all truth.
Amen.
And he'll open up the word. Plus, you're in a family of others who believe the same way you do. And that always helps, you see. So the word of God, when applied to our lives, places us inside, as it were, a cloak of protection from a myriad of dangers seen and perceived by others who choose to exist in spiritual blindness, who live their lives with no regard to what thus saith the Lord. There's a lot of people like that in the world. You deal with them every day. And this world is a dangerous place to be if there is no gospel insulation to provide a cover to protect the fallen soul. All of us have a tendency to be like we have been. The fallen soul, everyone has a fallen soul. Only those that are cloaked and covered with the insulation of the gospel are ones who are being made better. You're being made better. God is fixing some stuff in your life. I bet you I could get a witness. God is fixing up some stuff that's been out of whack with you for some time. He's working in your life. You're starting to see improvement. You're starting to say, okay, I see some stuff here I got to deal with.
Thank you, Lord.
And there's things that you're fixing up that God is giving you insight and also blessing you and covering you as you try to work to fix those things up. So here, look at what Jesus said quickly, and we can kind of cut to the chase here. It says here in John 16, Jesus is making preparation now to go to the cross. His disciples have heard him say a number of times that he's going to be crucified. They said, Lord, what do you mean crucified? They're not feeling it. We know you're the Lord. We've seen you walk on water. We've seen you heal the sick. We've seen you raise the dead, give sight to the blind. What do you mean? Bring the kingdom on. We know you're the Lord. They were ready for that, but he kept saying, I must be turned over into the hands of sinners and taken up to Jerusalem and be mistried and misjudged and be crucified. And they go, what? Well, what does he mean crucified? Boy, that's rough to understand. Well, the crucifixion was the way in which God, he knew that even if I come in the flesh, they will find me guilty because of the twistedness of their mind and give me the capital punishment of crucifixion. He had already predicted it. It's well written in the word. But basically, they weren't getting it. They didn't want to hear that. Crucified? Oh, no, that doesn't fit in our plan. We're your disciples. We want to sit on thrones next to you and rule and reign and bring in the kingdom, restore the kingdom to Israel. They're still saying it in Acts. When you get in the book of Acts, after Jesus has been crucified, buried, and risen, gotten out of the grave, seen for 40 days, and they say, Lord, is it at this time you will restore the kingdom to Israel? Wow, Acts 1:7. Oh, you got to be kidding me. He says, you know what? It's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put into his own power, but ye shall receive power.
Yes.
After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He gave them the prophecy of the church age. Here we are 2,000 years later preaching the same message. And the Lord has tarried all this time to come back and collect the church. And they were thinking, boy, it's time right now, man. We know you're the one. Get it on, Lord, right now. Go up there, shut down Rome, and throw them out, and set up Israel, set up Jerusalem. Get us in power. See, it didn't work like that. So, and you know what? If anybody is counting on Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump to fix your life, don't do it. Don't count on them. It's okay. I mean, they're doing what they do. But you need to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a greater pursuit. I wonder how did this group even get put together. It freaks me out when I look at it. But let me not even get on that subject. It's like, whoa, boy, that'll really be something there. But notice what Jesus said. He says, at that day, he's speaking of a day that you will ask in my name, and I say it not unto you, that if I will pray the Father for you, for the Father. Now, this is a question that a lot of people ask, and this is the answer. I want you to see the biblical answer. How do you know God loves you? And why does God love you? Here it is. Here's the answer. Verse number 27. And the Father himself loveth you because, that's the answer you want, ye have loved me. In other words, whoever loves Jesus, the Father loves you.
Yes.
And have believed that I came out from the Father. See that? He came out from God. If you believe that, that's why God loves you. It's a circular thing, because you wouldn't believe that unless God gave it to you to believe it. But when you do believe it, that's the reason that God loves you, because you believe the gospel. You've been cloaked with gospel insulation at that point. Now notice this. He says, in verse 28, I came forth from the Father and I am come into the world, and again I leave the world and go to the Father. So he came on a mission out of eternity into time.
Amen.
In order to fulfill what was necessary for me and you to know that we're saved.
Yes.
And then he went back, because I'm done. That's what that means. His mission was successful.
Amen.
I've done everything I need to do. So what am I going to do now? Sit at the right hand of God the Father and intercede for you. I'm your high priest, your advocate who is with the Father.
Yes, he is.
I'm dealing with every issue in your life and throughout the whole time span of human history.
Yes.
See, I'm there seated at God's right hand for whosoever believes in me. And God loves you because you believe that.
Yes.
So the gospel basically cloaks you and it insulates you. You see, and that's the good thing I want you to see here. And so notice this. And his disciples said unto him, lo, now thou speakest plainly. Or we're getting it, Lord. And speakest no proverb. We understand clearly now. Now we are sure that thou knowest all things, and that thou needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that you came out from God. Jesus answered and said, do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and now is now come that ye shall be scattered. You think it's over right now, but you're going to be scattered, and every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. That's talking about the hour when they came to apprehend him, to take him to the cross. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye, in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Yes.
So he said, I have already overcome the world. So he had determination in his mind that everything he came to do would be accomplished successfully.
Amen.
In just a few days after he made this statement.
Amen.
So the Most High God chose to make his only begotten Son the focal point of the human condition by giving his life for full satisfaction and his holy wrath against the curse of sin. So that the ones who embrace Jesus the Christ as Savior can live under the cloak of his righteousness,
amen,
knowing that they are recipients of his mercy and are elevated to the status of sons and daughters of the only true and living God by faith.
Amen.
So that's how you receive the blessing that you have and that you dwell underneath, as it says, in the shadow of the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get that by faith.
Yes.
And the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So God gives you the ability to hear the word. He gives you faith to believe the word.
Yes.
For by grace you have been saved through faith.
Right.
And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, for we are his workmanship.
Yes.
So we are God's workmanship. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? The Greek literally says that you are his poiema, which is the word we get in English word poem. You are creative work that God is fashioning.
Wow.
Each one of you.
Wow.
You know, individually, God is working on you individually. You are his love letter to the world.
Yes.
Because of the way he is manifesting himself in your life,
yes,
he's giving you the ability to speak life to other people.
Wow.
By sharing the good news that he gave his son for you.
Yes.
See, so we have no reason to be down and out. Sometimes we do get depressed in life, so we need to learn how to think ourselves happy like
all
David
right
did.
Amen.
I can come out of this because, you know, this is a temporary thing, but God,
yes,
loves me. So he can put some joy back in your soul if you have a need,
amen,
for it. And we all get down and out sometimes.
Yes, we do.
You know, but that's why we have a ministry to edify one another.
Yes. See, amen.
That's why he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Yes.
And I'm sure that's why some people who are out of the church or out because they've gotten out, now they got the devil saying, well, you know, you haven't been in 3 Sundays.
Yes.
Or you might as well go to bed and not get up and, you know, go. And he spooks their mind because they feel bad because they don't think, oh, you know, and they think the church is going to be against them. Well, we're not like that. We understand.
Amen.
We all go through dry spells.
Yes.
Different times when you feel dry and separated. Does that change? Let me ask one question. Does that change anything God did for you?
No.
Does it change his love for you?
No.
You think he was surprised when you said that? You said that you shouldn't have said? And I don't think he was.
Nope.
The Bible says you can't ever inform him of anything.
Yeah.
He knows everything about you. So he understands. That's what omniscience. There you go. That's the word. Omniscience. That means he knows everything. See, he has never been surprised. You have never surprised God. You know, you might think, oh, you know, it might have surprised you. But God has never been surprised. And he loves you just like you are still. And he has your best interest in mind, just like that hen that over the brood. If a wolf comes, you gotta get me first. Except this is not just a hen, this is the Most High God.
Yeah.
Covering over you.
That's
so
right.
Make sure he can cloak and protect
Amen.
You. So if you're here today and you have not been saved, we want to invite you today. This can be your day. This is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, and now is the acceptable time. So come right now. If you have not been saved, we want to invite you to come at this time and let us know, and we will pray with you. And if you haven't been baptized, we'll schedule you for baptism. We do that also, and it's our great pleasure to do that for you. And also, if you're here and you just would like to be a member of St. Timothy MB Church, we give you that opportunity also at this time to make that known to the church. Some people are saved, Christian experience, as we would say. And if you are and you would like to fellowship with us and learn with us, we invite you to come at
yes.
this time.
Yes.
Amen. Don't be ashamed to own him. He says, those who are ashamed to own me before men, I will be ashamed to own them before my Father and his holy angels. And as I've always said, I cannot be ashamed of Jesus because I need him desperately.
Amen.
The day when I get there, Lord, I might say, well, you know, he's a little nuts, Lord, but I know him. He's never ashamed of my name. You know, I don't know what he'll say. You know, but I want to make sure I'm bold to proclaim his name on earth. Amen. Because I don't need him to say, who is that? Move to the back of the line, sir. No, none of that. I want him to say, I know him, and he's not ashamed of me. Like Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believeth. Yes, so in either case, we want to invite you to come at this time. Let us all stand just for a minute. Amen. So if you're here today, we want to ask you, even if you are feeling a little sketchy, we're going to go ahead and pray now. Invite Christ to be your personal Savior if you have never done it. And you'll see the difference in your life that it makes when you are cloaked with the gospel, insulation, and God covers you for the rest of your time. Father God, in Jesus' name, we bless you. We praise you. We thank you today, Lord God, for being among us. We thank you for your word. It's a powerful thing when we get an understanding of what you have done, Lord God, and how you cover us, and how you know us, and how you loved us. And Father, teach us to love you back with the same love that you have loved us, Lord God. Help us to love one another, even as you have loved us. Sometimes people say, oh, I don't have trouble loving God, but I don't know about this one or that one. So Father, help us not be like that. Help us to see that you love our brother and our sister just like you do us, Lord God. Help us to have that acceptance in our heart, Lord God, to accept and to forgive and to cover and to bless and to do all those things you do for us, for others around us. You said we cannot love God who we cannot see if we do not love our brothers who we can see. And so, Lord God, help us to be that kind of person, Lord God, a leaning post for somebody else that's weak in a time of trouble. Lord God, we ask you, bless every person that's asking you to come into their life right now, whether they're hearing us in this room or by extension on the internet or however they're hearing our message, that they would trust Christ from this moment forward and go about believing that they are saved, Lord God, because of your grace alone through faith in Jesus Christ alone. We give you the praise today, Lord God. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We thank you for every family and every home that's represented here. And Father, we ask you, keep on doing what you do. We don't even know how you do it, but we thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. Bless everyone with a stable mind, Lord God. Help us not to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Help us to just be strong in our walk with you. And we give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. And the whole church say it together. Amen.
Amen.
Give God a hand praise. Amen. So we pray you got a blessing from the word that you heard today. And we thank God for each and every one who is here. And